speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, I love this time of year. I love Christmas, and I've got to say that my passion for Christmas did not begin here recent, but rather it's been there for many, many years. As a child, I couldn't wait for Christmas break to get off from school and to be able to just relax and not focus on schoolwork. And then, also as a youngster, I couldn't wait for Christmas Day to be able to wake up and find all of those presents under the tree by Santa Claus. And today I still enjoy, love the holiday season. I love Christmas songs and Christmas caroling, and to be able to look at all of the Christmas lights. And as I think about Christmas, we find is that there are usually multiple ways in which people look at Christmas. Some people look at Christmas from a religious standpoint, and in that they look at it as the birth of Christ and want to celebrate it as such. And in the Lord's church, we realize is that there is no way to really know the birth of Christ, and we're not authorized to celebrate it as such. And some in the church take it to an extreme, I believe, and say that we need to disassociate ourselves from Christmas and not to celebrate it in any form or fashion. And today I tell you that there, I believe, is a balanced view or a balanced perspective that we need to look at and to consider whenever it comes to this holiday that we recognize as a nation, and also that we would recognize individually as Christmas. As we look at the Lord's church, you and I understand that Christ is to be recognized as the authority whenever it comes to all matters of life. We understand that there is not a pope, there is not a man who is over the church issuing the standards that we are to comply with. But also, there's not a board of directors. We're not under a headship wherein that there would be a community of believers who would be over the church. But rather, you and I understand that the Bible says, and rightfully so, that Jesus Christ, in His death, was appointed as head over all things unto the body. The book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 help us to realize this. But also, Christ identifies is that the church is to be governed by elders, a plurality of men who meet biblical qualifications, and then also these men who seek to lead us according to the standards of our God. And in this, then, we say that we are under the authorization or under the guidance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whenever it comes to everything that we say and all things that we also do. God's Word must be recognized and followed as the divine standard. We do not turn to creeds that have been established by church fathers, but rather what we turn to is the Word of God. The Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, theos neustos, literally meaning God breathed. And because God has breathed His message to us, then we need to take it, to study it, and then to apply it to our individual life, but also to apply it congregationally whenever it comes to the things that we believe and teach, and also whenever it comes to the manner of which we worship. The Old Testament reveals is that God's Word was a light unto the path of the people of that day. We also would take and to apply that today and to say that it still serves as a light for you and me, and that we need to follow that light out of darkness, and then to follow that path of life continually in this life. And we do not have any right. We are not authorized from the Scripture to change it any iota. We cannot take away from the Word of God and be right. We cannot add to it and be right. We must take it as it is and only as it is. As gospel preachers, preachers are expected to deliver the whole counsel of God. What does that mean? It means that we need to deal with every aspect of what God tells us in the Scripture, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And we need not only to make it fit the context of which it is, but then in like figure we need to help make the sense. And what I mean by that is that we need to illustrate it. We need to make it apply to us today as Christians. And I hope and pray that I always try to do that, and that it does indeed make sense as we go through the various lessons that I present from God's Word. And the Bible tells us that each and every one of us, as members of the body of Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ, we are able to please God and glorify our Creator whenever we abide in His Word. So therefore, not only do we need to recognize Christ as the authority, not only do we need to see the Bible as the standard, and then as the Word of God is being preached to us, is that we make sure that it is as it is given in Scripture, we need to internalize it. We need to embrace what is being taught and what we're reading and studying from the Scripture in order for us to continue in a relationship with God that will please Him and glorify our God. We find in the world is that there are various views in regard to the holidays. For in fact, in the religious world, we find is that most religious groups celebrate holidays religiously. And what I mean by that is that the religious world looks to Good Friday and Easter, and they tie that to the resurrection of Christ, and they tie their worship service in and around this holiday season, and they want to focus upon the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet, the Bible does not say that there is an Easter or even a Good Friday that we need to observe, but rather, we are to always remember the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also then, subsequently, the resurrection of Christ. Take into consideration also St. Patrick's Day, a saint from years gone by, attached with Roman Catholicism from Ireland. They established this holiday based out of this individual. And now today, Roman Catholics and others even embrace it as a religious holiday. Also, think about Thanksgiving. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, but yet in the Lord's Church, we did not celebrate it as a religious holiday, but many do. Why? Because they look at it from the world's perspective as a religious time in which the first Christians got together and gave thanks for Christian pilgrims got together and gave thanks for all that they had. Is there anything wrong with us getting together and giving thanks for all that we have? Absolutely not. But we cannot make it a religious holiday. Why? Because the Bible did not authorize it as such. Friends, in the denominational world, they want to make Christmas about Christ. And in that, they want to celebrate it as the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to exalt Him on that day in a special sense, maybe, than what they are willing to exalt Him and to follow Him throughout the entirety of the year or throughout the entirety of the rest of their life. The Bible does not mention the word Christmas. I challenge you today to read and to study the Bible and to find the terminology Christmas explicitly or even implicitly taught. It's not in the Scripture. What we do find, though, in regard to the coming of Christ, is that He came to seek and to save the lost. That was His purpose, not to focus upon a holiday that would someday be called Christmas, but rather to come and to seek and to save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He also came to reveal the Father. John chapter 1 and verse 18. And in this, then, He came to die, to be the Savior of mankind. We look at the religious world, and amongst the Catholic Church, we find that Roman Catholics hold a midnight service heading into the Christmas day that they identify as midnight mass. And it's a group of people who come together from a religious standpoint, and they are coming for the purpose of having a mass service that recognizes this service as the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good people, it is a worship service. But yet at the same time, the New Testament Scripture tells us in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that the Father certainly seeks our worship, but the Father is seeking us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means that we need to worship God with the right attitude, but also it means that we need to worship God according to the right standards, according to the truth that He has prescribed, the way in which He commands us to worship Him. And if we get outside of that standard, outside of what has been authorized, then good people, we would be guilty of worshiping our God in vain. Not only do we find in the Roman Catholic Church that they worship Christ in an unauthorized way, but in many churches, most denominations, and even those who call themselves non-denominational groups, you will find is that there is this element of Christmas worship that will come about. Some of them have already engaged in Christmas-type worship services, and others will have next Sunday or even on Christmas Day, Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday, they will have their Christmas services. Yet at the same time, if they do things that is not authorized by God, they fit the criteria of what Jesus identified concerning individuals in His day in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, where that they might draw near to Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. Why? Because they teach as commandments the doctrines of mankind. Good people in the churches of Christ, we recognize the significance of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The birth of Christ is indeed a very important part of who we are. Why do I say that? Because the birth of Jesus is introduced in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said that He would put enmity between the seed of the devil and the seed of woman. And that is God's first prophetic message in regard to the sending forth of Jesus into this world. But also we understand under the law of Moses is that Isaiah reveals unto us and others in regard to how important the birth of Christ is, and then also giving some great detail in regard to the birth of Christ that we need to understand as it would pertain to our relationship with our God, taking into consideration Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah, some 8 centuries before Jesus came into this world, said that, behold, a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child into this world, and His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah revealed that a virgin would conceive, and good people, that was unheard of then, and still today we would say there's no way under the sun that that's capable or possible to take place. And that's true whenever it comes to the things under the sun. But good people, God was working in heaven through the Holy Spirit for the conception of this virgin to bring forth the Messiah, Jesus, into the world. And then we have revealed unto us in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, that Jesus Christ indeed came into this world in the same form or fashion that the Old Testament revealed He would come. He was born of a virgin, and lived here in this world. And for that reason, we encourage you as members of the church to recognize the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ every single day of this year and every year. Next Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday. Be grateful for the birth of Jesus Christ, but not only on Christmas Day. Be grateful every single day that Jesus Christ was born into this world. Not only do we recognize the significance of the birth of Christ, we also recall the life of our Lord as we preach and teach the gospel. So many lessons throughout the course of a year centers in upon the life of Jesus. Why do we preach and teach concerning the life of Christ? Because that's what the Bible is all about. It's about looking to the life of Christ, the things that He taught, and applying those things to our life. But also it's about looking at the life of Christ, the examples that we learn from the type of person He was, His character, and how He was focused continually upon the will of God, and how then that we need to take and to apply those things to our life so that we too shall be able to not only be identified as a child of God, but so that we will be able to please our God as we live here in this world. But also in the churches of Christ, we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every single Lord's Day, we assemble around the table. The Lord's table is oftentimes what we refer to it as. And the reason that we do that is because of what it represents. We assemble around the Lord's table to partake of the unleavened bread as well as the fruit of the vine. Why do we do that? Upon every first day of the week, because the Bible authorizes us to do that. And because the Bible commands us to do this. It's not the birth of Christ that we are given a day to remember, but rather it is the death of our Lord and Savior that we are given a day every week to remember. And for that reason, then, we assemble around the Lord's table and partake of these emblems and focus ourselves back to the time in which Jesus Christ our Lord shed His blood, gave His life, that cruel death of which He died for our sins. We focus each week upon that through this wonderful memorial feast that Jesus introduced and established, and of which the Lord's Church continually throughout the New Testament Scripture complied with. But also in the Lord's Church we rejoice over the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good people, in Christ we are able to be forgiven of our sins when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But yet at the same time, it's in Christ, in the resurrection of Christ, that you and I have our hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God. As we look at life, we know that life ends. And if we take the worldview, whenever that life ends, man is buried and put into the grave. And if you take the atheistic view, it's all over at that time. But if you take the view that most certainly is true, and that is taught through the Scripture, is that it's really and truly just the beginning for those who are in Christ, is that the soul continues to dwell on. Every soul dwells on, but the souls that are in Christ, they dwell on and will go on someday for that blessing. And all who are in the grave will be resurrected. And those who are in Jesus Christ, our hope is in the fact that Christ was resurrected. He is the first fruit. And now we will be resurrected in the same manner, according to the same glory, by that same power, the power of our Father, to go and to be ushered into heaven, to be able to dwell eternally with our God and our Heavenly Father someday. You know, whenever it comes to Christmas, we need to go back to the origin. Where did it all begin? Good people, the idea in regard to December the 25th, it was popularized by a man by the name of Sextus Julius Africanus, who dwelt circa around 160 to 240 B.C. And this man was a Christian traveler, and I use that with quotations because that's what secular history identifies him as well as a Christian historian. And this man wrote a reference book, and based out of his calculations, and what's wrong with this? It's not the things that were calculated from Scripture. But rather, based out of his calculations, he attributed December the 25th to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And based out of what it is that he wrote in this reference book in 221 A.D., many people held on to that idea, is that this was indeed the day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born. It's not established in Scripture, but good people, it is established by what this man and others in their world's calculations have come up with. Also, though, where did we find a declaration in regard to Christmas? A man who is identified from secular as well as Roman Catholic history as Bishop Liberius appointed this date a celebration to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This edict came into place, or this decree was issued in A.D. 354, not immediately after Jesus was hung on the cross and resurrected, but rather by some man some 300 plus years after Jesus Christ died on the cross. Roman Catholicism gave a feast as a religious group to honor the birth of the righteous Son of God. And in this, when and where did that come through? It came through the regional council vote, who was comprised of who? It wasn't authorized in Scripture, but good people, it was authorized by men who came together amongst Roman Catholicism, a man-made religious group who gave their vote, their authorization, their acceptance, and their pronunciation of Christmas as the time in which mankind should and must recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior. But also, whenever we think in regard to the Orthodox churches, Greek Orthodox Jewish churches, some of them need to be pointed out there, celebrate the birth of Jesus as January the 6th, or even some on January the 7th. Where did this come from? You can already guess. It was devised by mankind. It is man-made doctrines wherein that there's not authorization given in Scripture, but rather this has come through the authority of mankind, and these men did not have the authority to do so from our God. Biblical considerations. There is no way for us to know certain as to when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is born. And somebody will say, Kevin, I think that we can know everything about everything pertaining to life and as it would relate to our relationship with God. And I would say that yes, we can know everything as it pertains to our relationship with God as God wants us to know it. But there are some things that we cannot know. Why? Because God has not revealed everything to us. Take into consideration Deuteronomy 29:21-29. The secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed, they're there for us. But there are secret things that God has not revealed, and the birth of Christ is one of those things. Take into consideration the things that we can know are given to us in the New Testament. In the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the law. All Paul knew in regard to the birth of Christ that he shares with us anyway is that in the fullness of time, when everything was in place as God had prepared and planned for it, that's when Christ was born. Not a date significant to that. Also turn to the book of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and following. You'll read there that the one sitting on the throne was Caesar Augustus. Is there a date that's given? Absolutely not. Is there a week that's implied? Most certainly not. But what we draw here is that there's a world leader who is recognized, and that's not given so that we will try to figure out a date, but rather just so that we will understand the backdrop as to everything that's going on as the Savior came into this world to die for our sins. But also, there's no reference to the celebration of Christmas in regard to this nature given in Scripture. I've already said, you can search high and low. You can search from the front cover to the back cover, and you will not find the word Christmas given in the Scripture. You will not find any indication wherein that there's any suggestion remotely where that the first century Christians would have assembled themselves together for a Christmas holiday or celebration concerning the birth of Christ. And if indeed God wanted us to celebrate the birth of Christ, number one, I think that He would have given us a date, an exact date. But also, He would have given us reference, either explicitly or implicitly. We would have found examples in and through the New Testament Scripture where that the church was doing these things, but there is not. And therefore, you and I do not have the authorization to worship our Father according to this means or manner. In fact, what we do find in the New Testament Scripture is that there is a warning concerning the keeping of official holy days. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and verse 17, and Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through verse 5. We are not to observe the keeping of official holy holidays as what is given to us from mankind. There most certainly are holy days that we must keep. And that holiest of holy days, if you would, is today. And it comes around every week, every first day of the week, the Lord's Day, Sunday. And we assemble ourselves together to worship and to praise our God according to His standards at those given opportunities. But then in like figure today, as I stand before you, I know that we have some new Christians. There are some who's only been in Christ for maybe a few months, maybe even a few weeks, or maybe just even a few years, and therefore they're still learning in regard to what God says about the truth. And in this, you and I need to practice the patience of our God with these new believers. And to understand is that they will maybe have ideas that do not line up with the Word of God. And as they understand, learn the truth, then that they will make that transition to the true standards of God in all facets of their life. Why? Because God was important to them enough to where they came out of whatever it was that they were serving to be baptized into Christ, and now they're joined together with God's people, and now you and I can only hope and work with them to bring them to where they're going to conform their lives over to a mature Christian by no longer embracing these types of man-made doctrines. So we need to teach the truth in love and to be patient with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe had celebrated it, or maybe they have up until this point today even celebrated as the birth of Christ. But also, what are some positives that you and I can take away whenever it comes to Christmas? You and I need to understand is that today, as we think about Christmas, Christmas causes people to think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I wish that the world would think about Christ every single day the way that they think about Him coming into this holiday season. But yet at the same time, they do not. And therefore, I try to seize the moment. I try to take advantage of that opportunity and to try and work those times where people are trying to talk to me about Christ because they have this misunderstanding about Christmas, and I try to work those times to help them think more positively and truthfully about the truth about our Lord and what He came to do. But also, it motivates people to attend worship services. There are some people who will not beckon the building until they have a religious holiday come around. Easter, most buildings are fullest. Around Christmas time, they're also fullest. Why is that? Because people see it as a religious holiday. And because they want to please God on those religious holidays. Friends, we ought to want to please God every day of our life. As Christians, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We are to put God's kingdom, the church of Christ, number one in our life. Well, what will be a symbol? What will be an indicator as to if we've done that? According to what we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, if we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some did in the first century, we are not to do that. We are to follow the example of those who are indeed faithful in attendance and not attend just one service a year, but rather to attend all of the services that God commands us that we need to be a part of. But also, this day we call Christmas, it reminds people to consider others who are less fortunate than them. We live in a world today where it seems like more and more people are hurting as time goes on. And as Christians, we are told to always think about those who are less fortunate than us, and as we have an opportunity conjoined with the ability, then to do what we can to bring forth good to those individuals' lives. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Christmas holiday causes people to think about that. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that that's a blessing that comes through this holiday season. But also, Christmas encourages people to get together as family and to spend family time, quality time with one another. And we ought to cherish those times. We ought to thrive for those moments that we can get together with our family. Many of you know, most if not all, Miranda graduated from college yesterday. She graduated from the School of Nursing. We're very pleased with her, proud of her for her accomplishments. We're ready for her to get out and get a work, get a job. In that, we are blessed, not only in that sense, but my mom and dad, they're with us this morning. They've come down for the graduation. Dawn's folks were down. They had to leave yesterday afternoon. We cherish those times to be able to get together with our family we love very much. And Christmas brings families together in ways that other times of the year, they're not able to get together or they won't get together. And I think that that's a positive thing. Certainly, to this day we call Christmas. What are some negatives? It can encourage, and I want to say can, doesn't always, but it can encourage greedy attitude. I want, I want, I want. And as kids, you got to be careful about that. Nothing wrong with wanting certain things, but I want, I want, I want. That's a greedy spirit, and we've got to be very cautious about this holiday and that type of an idea. It can also drive people to overspend on gifts and other things, and we've got to exercise caution whenever it comes to Christmas and to only spend what it is that we can afford to spend and to realize is that it's not about how much we spend on people, but rather about the quality of love that we display towards those that we are giving to that really and truly matters most. But good people, also a negative would be is that it can bring out some of the worst behavior in people. We saw that back at Black Friday, right? The reports on television about people fighting over gifts, people even getting killed, riots breaking out, and things of that nature. It can bring out the worst behavior in some people. And we need to avoid that always and to conduct ourselves in a Christ-like and godly manner. It can also lead to confusion whenever it comes to the truth being withheld. And that, good people, I think is what we're focusing upon primarily today, is that in the religious world, the truth has been withheld whenever it comes to this day we call Christmas. And out of that then, people are celebrating it in a way that is not authorized in the Bible. And to me, that is the biggest negative of all, is for people not to have that chance to know the truth about our Lord and Savior and about Christmas. What is a Christian's approach? Some people say, let's throw it out. If it's not in the Bible, let's not do any of it. And then others say, well, let's embrace it as a religious holiday. You can't do that either. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwash. Amen? We know that there are things that we cannot, must not do, and we throw those things out, and then there are other things that are okay. And that certainly would be acceptable. As we go and look for that day, Christmas, coming very quickly, I want to encourage each and every one of you today to enjoy the time that you will have and spend with your family. We will be traveling to Indiana, is what we always have and hope to continue to do, to spend time with our family, whom we love. And we cherish those times, as I've already shared, to be able to be with our loved ones. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to have family time. Time that you get together with those whom you love and make as many memories as you possibly can make with one another during the Christmas time. We have hanging in our house a set of bells that my mom gave us last year at Christmas. And those bells actually were my Mamaw keys. And I remember going out to my Mamaw keys for Christmas and those bells hanging there in the living room where we would all gather for the exchanging of gifts. And those bells mean everything to me about Christmas. Also, though, I remember making fudge. We would make chocolate fudge and peanut butter fudge. And some of it had nuts in it, and some of it did not have nuts in it. Some of us liked nuts, others were nuts and didn't need nuts, I guess. In that beautiful memories, times that we were able to be together as a family, to make memories, and those things are in my mind, and I trust and I hope will always be in my mind until I pass from this life into eternity. Take that opportunity to create those amazing memories this holiday season, but also let those special people in your life see the love that you have for them. You may not have this year. The loved one may pass before this year rolls around. And therefore, cherish the memories you have already made. But take this year as possibly the last year that you will have with your loved ones and let them know how much you love them, how important they are to you, and how appreciative you are for the relationship that you have had and do have even to this point in time. But then also, my final words would be, relax a while. Kids, when you get off from school, kick back. If you got homework, get the homework done. But kick back and relax a little bit. Take a little time off. If you're going to have time off from your job, take time to relax and to reflect also continually upon the amazing blessings that our God gives us. Christmas. This day we call Christmas. It's not a religious holiday. It's a holiday that's been given to us from man, but it can be a blessing in each of our lives if we will look at it from a Christ-like perspective, or from a Christian's perspective, rather. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you to put Christ on in baptism, to become one of His children. If you're here and you're an erring member from the Lord's church, we want to say we hope that you would desire to return. And if you do, we would pray with you and for you that you might be restored back into a faithful walk with our God. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come and